outcome will be is hard to go through by yourself. In this episode, my mom, Cynthia, shares the joy of finding God's affection in her affliction, and how she encountered spiritual certainty in times of physical uncertainty.
Hi, this is Cynthia. Thanks for tuning in again to hear about the continuing treatment to save my sight. Since the orbital decompression surgery didn't fully help me recover my sight, I will undergo 10 rounds of orbital radiation treatment in the course of 3 weeks. The weekend before the radiation session started was filled with joy. I could smile again. My face is becoming less swollen and bruised. I had more people visiting me, and I reveled in good conversations, which refreshes me. Let me tell you a bit about my immediate family. I live with my husband, 2 wonderful children, my mom, my mom-in-law, and an adorable dog, a tricolor King Charles Cavalier. We are a busy household juggling work, school, and lately, many hospital appointments. We thank God for giving us each other. The wonderful thing about my family is that we all share the same Christian faith. We all believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, who have redeemed us of our sins and continues to transform us to be like Him. With that kind of description, you must be imagining a holy, holy household filled with angels. Well, we are far from perfect as a family. We do have our arguments, disagreements, and conflicts. But over time, we have learned and continue to learn how to beat down our pride and forgive each other as Christ has graciously forgiven us. Showing grace is always hard to loved ones, but I think we got better at it as we learned to seek peace in our household simply because we treasure living in a harmonious home. We each believe our home is a sanctuary from the chaos and busyness of life. We come home knowing we can find physical rest, be safe, feel loved, and supported. Since I've been unable to attend church services, we've been having communion as a family on Sundays. My son likes distributing the cups and bread. It's a sacred time we hold dear to our hearts as we give thanks to our Lord Jesus for what He has accomplished on the cross. We would spend time praying and asking for healing for me, our family members, and our friends who are unwell. We always end our communion with a hug to each other, saying, "Shalom, peace be with you." The power of hugs makes us all feel so good, inside and outside. It's in the tough times we see the benefits of sharing the same faith and beliefs. We stand on the same foundation, the same Word of God, the same practice. There isn't a tension of miscommunication of beliefs. Our family speak from a godly spirit, which is very comforting when we are hurting and feeling low. I thank God daily for our loving family. Although not easier, it makes the crisis bearable, and I feel I can endure it as my family speaks life into me and shows me love. The day of the first radiation session came. I was feeling quite anxious on the day, as I've not gone through this before. I was told it would be a relatively straightforward process. I would need to lie very still on the machine, have my head locked down in the custom-made silicone mask. I would then, with my eyes closed, look straight ahead and not move the eyeballs around during the treatment. The session will play calming music of my choice. The machine will rotate me around and take scans of my eyes before shooting the radiation rays. Each treatment lasts between 15 to 20 minutes, with 8 shots of radiation to blast the inflammatory cells affecting my eye muscles. This is in hopes that my eye muscles will swell less and stop stressing out the optic nerves, which are in danger of permanent damage. As I laid there, I thought, this should be easy. All I have to do is close my eyes, look straight ahead as if I'm seeing the cross in front of me, and relax. Oh no, what's that playing in the background? Country music? Ah, I forgot to tell them to play instrumental jazz to help me relax. I can't talk when my head is locked in as the mask squishes up my face. After I freaked out for a few seconds, the music changed from country to jazz. Ah, I sighed in relief, gave the thumbs up as the radiation experts can see me through the TV camera. I found out later that my hubby had told them to switch the music. It's just wonderful when you're married to someone who knows you so well. After the first radiation session, I felt the back of my eyes were achy and I was rather fatigued, maybe because I was anxious and everything inside of me clamped up. I slept for the most part of the afternoon to recover my energy. I've been praying for the radiation treatment to be really effective to reduce the rest of the eye muscle swelling, and finally my optic nerves can be free from being compressed by all the swelling. I would pray, oh Lord Jesus, you are the great miracle worker. I am counting on you. I am looking forward, just like a little child, to be well again. One day, this washed out vision will start to dissipate and I can see perfectly. The second and third radiation treatment went smoothly and I felt much better and not fatigued. In the first week, I had the 3 consecutive radiation sessions and had a couple of days break in between. I had made it through the first week of radiation. Wow. In previous episodes, I talked about the prayer closet, my go-to space where I can hide and just talk to God privately. Being suddenly visually impaired for over a month can really assault one's mind, causing trauma and the enemy of God having a field day when we are feeling lousy. But I thank God that He trained my heart and mind to be strong during the crisis, ever focusing on the cross so that I can entrust my life to Him and place all my hope in Him. God has been so kind to me. Each day I seek Him. He is there for me. I thought to myself, Lord, you are so busy with the world events happening before your eyes, so many people needing you, but you still have time for me. It's as if I'm the only person on the planet you care about. Wow. That's how extravagant God's love is. We cannot truly fathom how deep, how wide God's love is. You know, when you find truth and have experienced truth, you don't ever want to depart from it. That's what fuels me. Staying true to my faith, for its truth has given me hope amidst great uncertainty. When the spiritual battle playing in my mind was intense, I felt I was being cornered and have nowhere to run. Have you felt that way before? When the assault is so great, you think you're losing the fight. I know when I cry out, my God saves me. And this time, He brought me to a safe place. The noise of the battle is finally gone. I can't hear the lies, the assaults, the accusations. I'm safe in God's arms. I have received His overwhelming peace and assurance. Oh, how good that feels. I sleep peacefully. I wake up with joy in my heart. This year, Psalm 18 verse 19 has become my favorite verse. It speaks of how I felt I was saved from mental depression. The verse goes, "He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." The word spacious jumped out to me when I first read it. It promises of a breathing space, a vast space. In my mind, I pictured myself in this space, green, lush, and serene. I can run with wind in my hair. I can enjoy the sunshine. I am free. My Lord is my sun and my shield. I'm protected. In his space, I'm free. It's weird how in my time of despair, I have found the true meaning of what it means to really rest in the Lord. It's not a physical rest, but a spiritual rest where your whole being is not struggling with life's uncertainties, troubles, and what the future holds. My husband and I have been listening to Watchman Nee's audiobook called Sit, Walk, Stand, which has ministered to us during the crisis. Nee was a Chinese evangelist back in the pre-Cultural Revolution. Nee's book expounded the book of Ephesians in three phases. Sit, which is our position in Christ. Walk, which is our life in the world. Stand is about our attitude toward the enemy. In his book, he wrote, "Christianity begins not with a big do, but with a big done." Thus, Ephesians opens with a statement that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. And we are invited at the very outset to sit down and enjoy what God has done for us, not to set out to try and attain it for ourselves. He continues in his book, "The Christian life from start to finish is based on the principle of utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no limit to the grace God is willing to bestow upon us. He will give us everything, but we can receive none of it except as we rest in Him. Sitting is an attitude of rest." I like this story Nee told to an engineer friend of his who came back after years of work in a far-off land to find his wife having an affair with his best friend. His engineer friend found it hard to forgive, although he knew he must do. He asked Nee for advice on what he should do, and Nee's response was, "Do nothing." His friend was flabbergasted because he needed to do something about it. Nee responded, "God is waiting till you cease to do. When you cease doing, then God will begin." Have you ever tried to save a drowning man? The trouble is that his fear prevents him trusting himself to you. When that is so, there are just two ways of going about it. Either you must knock him unconscious, or then drag him to the shore, or else you must leave him to struggle and shout until his strength gives way before you go to his rescue. If you try to save him while he has any strength left, he will clutch at you in his terror and drag you under, and both he and you will be lost. God is waiting for your store of strength to be utterly exhausted before he can deliver you. Once you have ceased to struggle, he will do everything. God is waiting for you to despair. After hearing this, his engineer friend jumped up with realization and rejoiced at this profound revelation. This spoke directly to my situation In my struggle to fight fear and feeling like I've lost control of my life, I just have to stop struggling and let go. When I rest in the Lord, I bear my load, my worries, my tomorrows, my everything upon the Lord. He is always working for my good. When I stop my struggling, He saves me. God's rest is a gift. When you find it, you don't want to ever depart from His rest. As I meditate on the scriptures, the Holy Spirit provides deeper insights, teaches me different ways to pray for myself, my family, for others, and use the authority of scriptures to pray over His church body and those who don't know Him. In His rest, I've learned to delight being in His presence as He delights in me. I wished I learned this gift of rest much earlier in my Christian life, of what it truly means to rest in the Lord. It took a crisis to force me to sit, be still, and focus. And the best part of resting in the Lord is that I've learned to enjoy it. I hope it doesn't happen to you, to those listening in, where a crisis has to hit your life so that you will learn to receive God's rest. I pray you will find time and space to receive His precious gift of rest in your life now. Don't wait. Make time. In return, you will learn of God's abounding generosity, how He longs to bless you as you learn to enjoy His fellowship and friendship. As Watchman Nee puts it, God is the eternal giver and doer.
I hope you've been inspired by Mum's incredible journey. Please subscribe and share this podcast to people you know who will be encouraged by her story.